This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Hello and welcome back to the Financial Standard podcast. My name is Eliza Bavin and I'm a senior journalist with Financial Standard. This week, Labor unveiled their federal budget, delivering its second consecutive surplus and outlining a range of measures to help ease the cost of living. But what impact might this have on inflation? To talk more about this, I'm pleased to welcome senior financial market analyst with Capital.com, Kyle Rodder. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what is your top line overview of this budget?
My top line overview is that if the government was serious about bringing down inflation, truly bringing down inflation, that nothing within this budget really goes about achieving that. Effectively, what we've seen is that the government will be more or less increasing spending. It will be passing on support to households, which while at the margins for some might support some of these issues with cost of living, on the aggregate is likely to boost demand, all else being equal within the economy, and therefore make the RBA's job a little bit more difficult than it would otherwise be. So, of course, there's the politics wrapped up in this, and you know, you can discuss kind of the messaging and perhaps have some of the cynicism in that as well. But overall, all else being equal, this is a budget that doesn't help the cause of getting inflation truly lower. If anything, it makes it worse.
So you're of the mindset that this will add to inflationary pressures. Do you think that the RBA will have more pressure to raise interest rates?
Well, that's the risk now. I mean, it's obviously very difficult to predict any sort of outcome when it comes to just macroeconomic forecasting. But if we take kind of the approach that all else being equal and focusing solely on what's contained within this budget, this will add to demand and pressures within the economy or demand within the economy. It'll add to underlying inflation pressures within the economy. There'll be some mechanical benefits to headline CPI because of some of the energy subsidies that we're seeing. However, this is a budget that adds to demand in the economy rather than looks to reduce it. And again, if you consider all else being equal, that's an inflationary pressure.
And what impact, if any, do you think this budget will have on markets?
It hasn't had at the moment or recently hasn't had any big impact on the markets on aggregate. I mean, for starters, a lot of this stuff is leaked to the press in advance. The markets have the opportunity to price in advance, you know, any kind of surprise. Typically, that budgets don't have a big impact on the markets. The only real exception to that was through the pandemic because you know there was a severe need for some pump priming and counter-cyclical, if you will, stimulus to obviously stabilize the economy. So there was a very significant impact to the markets around that. This is a very normal budget for the markets that it doesn't rock things particularly much. However, what happens now is that because, again, all else being equal, this is likely to be a budget that stimulates economic activity rather than weighs against it. There's going to be the impact of probably higher yields than there would otherwise be, greater interest upside risk to interest rates and interest rate volatility. And as it pertains to equity markets at a broad level, at an index level, of course, you know, if you go through individual policies, there's going to be winners and losers depending on the sort of stock you follow. But at a broad level, that kind of potential upside risk to inflation and therefore interest rate volatility would probably not be on aggregate great for the ASX 200. If we see, for example, another hike from the RBA, that wouldn't be good for valuations. Again, we haven't seen any of that sort of response yet. I don't think the markets are really pricing any sort of upside risk to inflation just yet. However, it's not something that I think is fully discounted. It's not something that our market participants are really looking into yet. They will once it if and when it manifests in the data. And again, my view is that on balance and all things being equal, this will eventually manifest in stickier inflation or more upside pressure on inflation than there would be otherwise.
The budget said that they were looking to reduce migration numbers by about half. What kind of effect could that have on the economy? Because obviously when it comes to supply and demand, that will also kind of mean less demand.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you sort of take a backward look at where we've been in terms of the trade-offs in the Australian economy, I think over the last couple of years is that you've had initially a situation where these workers needed to come in because, one, there was a period of very low immigration and there was sort of a compensatory effect going on there. And the reason why we sort of boost levels of migration in the way that we did was because there were shortages in the labor market. And that was at the risk of driving, if we didn't address that problem, driving wages higher and therefore exacerbating inflationary pressures as well. The counter to that, though, is that while we took away that kind of risk from the labor market and addressed some of those issues of higher wage pressures, the increase in immigration, especially given that it was mostly amongst high-skilled workers, which tends to be the Australian way of approaching migration through this sort of merit-based sort of policy, added to demand in the economy. And of course, as we all know, it's what's kept Australia growing. It's what's more or less led to this dynamic of a per capita recession where, you know, GDP is increasing on a nominal basis, but person by person, you know, growth is actually contracting. So that demand brought in by immigration is what's, you know, keeping the economy going. This now, the issues that we've had in the labor market are subsiding. That issue is more or less solved. We had wage data out today, which shows that wages have probably peaked for this cycle, and looks like wage pressures are probably subsiding. There is less need to bring people in. The government can now reduce migration to sort of ease the impact on demand and the sort of follow-on inflation pressure that's generating from that kind of avenue. And it is, to be fair, you know, one aspect of the government's efforts to try and, again, cool the economy. And you know, it does forecast the GDP will drop considerably over the next couple of years. So again, it's probably a sensible approach in terms of taking away some of those inflationary pressures, although I suspect it won't be the, you know, key determinant in terms of whether this budget and the policies contained within it are on net inflationary or disinflationary.
Is there anything that you think, in your opinion, should have been in the budget that could have significantly reduced inflation?
So for me, looking at it at a high level, I think, I mean, bill relief is fine. Tax cuts or trying to change the tax brackets in order to sort of account for bracket creep is fine. But in principle, what needed to be done is that rather than having that, you know, everyone gets a prize kind of approach to policy, where you implement those policies while not offsetting them with reduced spending elsewhere, there really needs to be some tightening of the purse strings somewhere else, so that on the aggregate, the budget was less stimulatory. And again, you know, that it becomes a political question of kind of like distributive justice, you know, who gets what and why, and who shoulders the burden of that. But the government didn't really want to take any tough decisions. Obviously, you know, there could be an election in the next 12 to 18 months. And therefore, it meant that, you know, overall, this budget is going to be something that sort of feeds sort of inflationary pressures. So it's not so much any one policy. Again, it's sort of not my forte, of course. It's looking at kind of things in the aggregate and the market impact. But if there was going to be some sort of policy to ease pressures in some areas for some people or some actors in the economy, it needed to be offset by, you know, obviously some sacrifices elsewhere. And we didn't really see much of that in this budget.
Well, I was going to ask, actually, if you felt that this was an election budget.
I would imagine so. I mean, I think, and, you know, this is probably more my opinion than it represents anything to do with, you know, a broad market consensus or certainly the opinion of my employer. But, you know, it was a bit of a sleight of hand. It was pretty intellectually dishonest, I think, to forecast, for example, the headline CPI number that it did before the end of the year of 2.75%, you know, this kind of mechanical decrease in prices because of this, you know, assistance with electricity bills, which is sort of fantastic in terms of, you know, supporting people and households highly sensitive to that. But to say that somehow this is going to really address the underlying issues with inflation, and that somehow that if the government does achieve that, comes close to achieving that level of headline inflation below 3%, and you know, sort of waves a flag of victory about that. Again, that would be fairly intellectually dishonest. That would be a bit of a sleight of hand, and it wouldn't likely manifest in some of those underlying measures of inflation that the RBA wants to look at to get a better sense of whether, you know, price pressures and the cost of living crisis is really being solved. So again, they're trying to more or less massage the numbers a little bit to create a salable point. They don't obviously want to deliver any kind of bad news to the electorate or any part of the electorate out of fear of alienating them and obviously losing votes. So this is a budget that was sort of light on tough decisions and did sort of seem to reek of an attempt to sort of paint things in a pretty way and make sure the politics were taken care of rather than, you know, the actual economic policy and what might be good for the economy and the country in the long run.
So it's fair to say that CPI being back within the RBA's target range by Christmas is maybe not looking as likely as the Treasurer might want us to believe.
There's a good chart in the budget which shows their projections based on relating to this bill relief, what headline inflation might look like or what my prices might look like with the bill relief and without. And it does make a significant difference. However, again, it's sort of a way of manipulating the numbers a little bit to kind of remove just from a, you know, a mechanical way, you know, some of the increase in CPI will come from that component of the inflation basket, which again doesn't really indicate in any way the sort of underlying pressures in the economy. And not only that, the RBA will look through and typically does look through headline inflation, which, you know, energy and food, for example, is, you know, a very significant driver in volatility in that number. And they looked at, for example, the trim mean number to get a better sense of things. And this kind of assistance won't be as captured, at least not directly, in those trim mean measures of inflation, which means that, you know, it's not going to make the RBA's job any easier. Certainly, if nothing else, won't make the job any different because, again, that trim mean number will be the more important figure and isn't what, and this is an important point too, is that the government made very, very little reference to underlying inflation pressures in this document, despite referencing them, at least, you know, at least in a passing way in previous budgets. So this is why I think it's a bit of a sleight of the hand that the public shouldn't be too given any confidence that inflation will get back to a level that the RBA might ease policy just on the basis of what we know within this budget. And if anything, again, because that sort of stimulus is very likely to either be saved or at the margins spent in other areas of the economy, it might just manifest in other items, which will show up in the trim mean inflation. And again, won't make a difference to RBA policy. So it's a political document. It's something that while on a headline level, the government might be able to crow that it has gotten inflation down again because of a bit of some trickery. In terms of what really matters, the inflation numbers that really matter, this won't have a big impact.
Okay, well, Carl Rotter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.